out one more time.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
Hallelujah.
Alive.
Thank you.
Alive.
The Lord.
He is alive.
He has risen from the dead and he's alive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is so good. Lord is so good. All the little ones can be dismissed. Quietly, little ones, medium ones, older ones. If you're 80 and below, stay. Thank you, Lord. That means, Jim, you have to go. Jim has to go to class. Right, Jim? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hope you've been thinking about what I mentioned earlier, that partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience equals disobedience. So I hope you have been thinking about that a little bit, because we're going to be talking about that, what that means in a minute. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Lord, for this time where we can delve into your word, that we can learn from you, O God, that we can be changed, we can be transformed, we can be renewed, we can be refreshed. Give us minds that understand, ears that listen, lips that speak your truth and love, and receptive hearts, we pray. And we bless you. And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. For you are my rock, my redeemer. You are my ever-present help in times of trouble. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know, the evil one has been trying to disrupt this service from the very beginning. But I tell you what, he didn't do it. He didn't do it because the presence of the Lord is here. God's presence came down. People's lives are touched. So he's just a liar. And he's kind of foolish. He just doesn't understand that what his fate is. He's condemned to eternal damnation in the pit forever and ever. But we will arise and be in the presence of the Lord forever. So I think we got the much better deal, didn't we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How often do we think we're being obedient to God when in reality we're only being partially obedient? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. When we think that we're being obedient to God, we think we're doing the right thing. We think we're heading the right way, but in reality, we're only partially obedient. And partial obedience equals disobedience. So I'll give you some examples here. I'm going to start off with just talking about something we do every week. The Lord gives us the command to tithe 10% in both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. However, for whatever reason, a lot of us only give maybe a percent or two or even less. We might come before the offering and put in a dollar, you know, once a week or every other week or something, and we think we're being obedient to God. In our mind, we think because we are giving something that we're right before God and we're being obedient. But in reality, we're really disobeying the word of God. In fact, Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 tells us, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. This is just one example. And I'm not going to even stress that. This is one example. But I just want you to think about, when we think that we're being obedient to God, in reality, we're really being disobedient. But let's take a look a little bit at what's known as the 10 words or the 10 commandments. Have you all heard about the 10 commandments before, by the way? You've heard about them from Exodus 20? Yeah. And you're familiar with them, right? Who's familiar with the 10 commandments? And now we know they're not 10 suggestions, right? God didn't say, I'm going to give you these 10 suggestions, and if you follow them, it'll be good for you. No, these are 10 commandments. But let's look and turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus, Shemot, chapter 20. Let's look at this first one here. Says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before you. So we think to ourselves, of course, God is first and God is foremost in my life. We all think that, right? Yeah, God is the first and most important thing in my life. And we think, well, you know, I read the scriptures sometimes and I pray every now and then. I even go to synagogue, you know, once or twice a month. You know, I'm cool. I'm right with God and everything. However, how often do we put our spouses, our kids, our jobs, our hobbies, and other pursuits before the living God? How often are these things put as first and foremost, and we relegate God to a lower position or a lower place in our life? Are we really putting Adonai first? We're only being partially obedient, and that equates to disobedience. You shall have no other gods before me. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It says, you must not take the name of Adonai your God, the name of the Lord your God, in vain. God forbid, we say. I would never use God's name inappropriately. He's a holy God. He's an awesome God. I honor his name always. You know, that may be your intention. That might even be your desire to do that. But it's only partial obedience, because we blaspheme the name of God through our disobedience, through our bad witness, and the lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We lack the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the perseverance. We lack the character of God in our lives. Also, while we're driving, right? When we're driving, we lose it all the time. What about Exodus 20 and verse 8? It says, remember the Shabbat to keep it holy. But Lord, you say, I don't work on the Shabbat. I'm honoring it. However, how often do we skip Shabbat services and stay home? Well, Saturday morning, you know, the cartoons are on Saturday morning. How often do we make other plans for the Shabbat that doesn't include the Lord? Well, you know, I'm going to take this special class on this Saturday, or, you know, we're going to go on fishing this Saturday, or we're going to do something else. How often do we make other plans for the Shabbat that does not include the Lord? You know, this is a day to honor Adonai's Shabbat, the Lord's Shabbat, and he must come first and he must come foremost in our life. He has to be the number one, the most important. And again, we're only being partial obedient. And that equates to disobedience. How about Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12? We've heard this one many times in our lives. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land which Adonai your God is giving you. This command here comes with a promise. If, and only if, we are obedient to it. The sad reality is that much of the body of the Messiah falls short in this area. You know, our parents don't always have to be right, but we still have to honor their position as our mothers and as our fathers. That's the command of God. You may not like what they say. You may not agree. But the Word of God says that you honor them because God has given them to you as your parents. And we think we might be honoring them by doing little things for them. But the Lord requires big things from us. And again, partial obedience is still disobedience. And we may lose the promise of this command because of our partial obedience. Exodus 20:13 says, do not murder. Anybody ever murdered anybody in here? So you're probably thinking, well, I'm going to be good on this one because I've never murdered anybody at all. Never murdered anybody. So, okay, we haven't shot somebody, we haven't stabbed somebody, we haven't beat somebody to death with a club, right? Anybody's done any of those things in here? Any wives? Have you ever hit your husband over the head with a big old frying pan? No? So I guess we're obedient to that command, right? Uh-oh, but what about murder in our heart? In our heart. Yeshua said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 these words, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Have you ever had murder in your heart for somebody where you just, man, I just hate this person so much. I just wish they were dead. I wish I could get away with shooting them or killing them in some way or another. I just can't stand them. Anybody's ever done that? Be honest. We all have done that kind of stuff. We have. I'm sure husbands have sometime thought that about their wives. And sometimes wives have thought that about their husbands. Because although we may love them, things are not always perfect. There's issues. There's problems. Maybe your spouse does things that just causes you to just burn inside. And you have that murder in your heart. Oh, I just wish I could. Ugh. And again, Yeshua says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. It's what's in the heart. So we're only being partially obedient. And again, that equates to disobedience. What about Exodus 20:14? It says, do not commit adultery. Ooh. And we're thinking, you know, I would never commit adultery. I would never do such a thing. That's so wrong. I love my wife. I love my husband. But what about lusting over somebody? Or looking at pornography and lusting? Or having unholy, ungodly, or impure thoughts? What does Yeshua say about that? Yeshua says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wow. We're only being partially obedient. And again, that equates to disobedience. Exodus 20:15 says, "Do not steal." Again, you know, we're thinking, gosh, you know, I would never rob a bank. I'd never steal a car. I would never take something that doesn't belong to me. However, do you ever take office supplies from work? I know a lot of people who do that. Or borrow something from someone and never return it. I've borrowed things many times or lent things to people and I'd never seen it again. Would you do that? Do you take what about this? Do you take credit for something that you didn't do? Or you rob someone of their dignity? Strip them of their dignity? Do you rob people of their joy by your anger and the outbursts that you have in your life? You know, stealing is just not physical. It can be emotional, and it can impact someone's life just as much. And again, we're only being partially obedient, and that equates to disobedience. A couple more commandments before I get to one of the saddest stories in the scripture. In Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor." And our first thought here would be, you know, again, I would never do something like that to somebody. However, how many times have we wrongly accused someone of something, even in, you know, either intentionally or unintentionally? How many times have we done that? Maybe it was even to get back or to get even at someone. People do that all the time. "I'm going to get back at her. I'm going to get back at him for doing this or hurting me. I'm going to get back. I'm going to get them in trouble for that. They hurt me. I'm going to hurt them." Jeremiah 19 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it?" You know, our heart, it's not as pure and wonderful as we think sometimes. Sometimes we have an ugly heart. Ugly heart. And we need to give that to the Lord that He may strip away the hardness of our heart, take away the stoniness of our heart so that He may reveal a heart of purity and a heart of flesh. Again, we're only being partially obedient, and that equates to disobedience. And there's one other commandment of the Ten Commandments I want to mention. Exodus 20:17 says, "Do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." You know, in the world that we live in today, there are so many amazing and so many wonderful things, but not everything is good for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 even talks about that. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 says, "Everything is permitted for me, but not everything is helpful or good. Everything is permitted for me, but I will not be controlled by anything." We can desire to have good things. There's nothing wrong with desiring to have nice things and good things, but not at that point that we resent our neighbors and our friends and our family because they have these nice things and we don't have this. And you see those nice things and you desire it and you covet it and you want those things. We can allow ourselves to lust, or we can't allow ourselves to lust after the things of the world and then dishonor the kingdom of God. And we fail in this area often. And partial obedience is disobedience. But I want to turn to a section in 1 Samuel. Do you have your scriptures? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to look in 1 Samuel 15 at one of the saddest examples in the scriptures. However, before we do, I want to share with you this true story. Are you ready for this true story? So there was this mother telling, a mother was telling about her 6-year-old daughter, Lori, who was studying this section in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And the scripture was, to obey is better than sacrifice. That was Lori's memory verse from her mother. She needed to learn, to obey is better than sacrifice. 6-year-old Lori needed to memorize this. And one day Lori, the 6-year-old, observed her 3-year-old little sister, Christy. And Christy was being so disobedient. And she immediately, this 6-year-old big sister, takes her little 3-year-old sister aside and sternly admonishes her and said, Christy, if you don't obey, you're going to be sacrificed. Now, she didn't quite get that right, huh? But to obey is better than sacrifice. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we find King Saul had not obeyed God's commands. And because of that, he ended up sacrificing his entire kingdom. He sacrificed his close relationship with the prophet Samuel. In fact, Samuel never saw Saul again. And he sacrificed his relationship with God. And eventually, later on, toward the end, his life is lost as well, sacrificed, because he didn't obey the word of the Lord. In fact, he just partially obeyed. He didn't obey the fullness of the Lord. And when the Lord comes to us and gives us a command or direct instructions, we need to follow them 100% completely, not partially. And in 1 Samuel, when Saul was first anointed king, he seemed to be the ideal candidate. Saul was such a good-looking guy. He was tall. He was athletic. He was humble. And at the beginning, he was pious. And he stood a good head taller than anybody else. In fact, it made it easy for his men to rally around him on the battlefield because he stood a head taller than anyone. They could see him. But in time, Saul's humbleness was replaced with pride. And his commitment to God became about a mile wide and a foot deep. By the time we get to the incident that's recorded in 1 Samuel 15, Saul had gone over to the dark side completely, totally. His heart was away from God. He was after his own pursuits. His heart was filled with envy and anger and hatred. So what did Saul do wrong? Well, the most obvious problem was his concept of obedience to God. God had given Saul some pretty simple, direct instructions. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, well, God tells Samuel, now go and attack Amalek, the Amalekites. and completely destroy everything they have. Don't spare them, but kill men and kill women and kill children and kill babies. Kill the cows and the sheep and the camels and the donkeys. In other words, destroy everything. Now, it's not for us to judge God about that. God had his reasons for that. The Amalekites were evil. Everything about them were evil. They had to be totally eradicated and wiped off the face of the earth because of the evil that was within the Amalekites. So what did Saul do? Did Saul do what God asked him to do? Well, kind of. Oh, partially he did. He partially obeyed God. And we read that he spared the best of the cattle, the best of the sheep, and he even spared King Agag's life. But he killed everything and everybody else. Now, in Saul's mind, that made sense. He didn't really even care about the Amalekites at all. Who cares, you know, one way or the other about the Amalekites? To him, they're only getting what they deserved. But why waste all those good cattle and all those good sheep? All that good stuff. Why waste all that good stuff? I'll just kill and destroy the lame and the sick and the diseased and the defective ones. But I'll save all these good ones. Certainly, the Lord would want to bless us and give us all the good stuff. And then King Agag. Why destroy him? He was a powerful man. He had a lot of influence. He knew a lot of people. In fact, Saul even made some kind of arrangement or some kind of deal to make it worth his while to spare his life. We don't know for sure. But other than that, Saul obeyed God, partially obeyed God, at least in his own mind. In fact, because Saul did spare King Agag, we actually have this wonderful feast we call Purim today, because Haman happened to be a direct descendant of King Agag, who was spared for a period of time. And because of that, Haman is a descendant of him, and the Jewish people almost got destroyed because of that. But listen what God says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and verses 22 and 23. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination or the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. From this point on, because he only partially obeyed God, he wasn't faithful in following totally what God commanded him, God was stripping him here. God was rejecting his kingship. He was going to give it to a neighbor, someone better, a man after God's own heart. It was going to be given to Melech David, to King David, who followed the commands of God. Saul was to lose everything because he thought he was obeying God, but he only partially obeyed God. He was disobedient to God. In fact, God tells us that when we choose not to obey, that's the same as rebellion, when we choose not to obey. It's the same as idolatry. It's wicked in the sight of God. God considers obedience to be more important than anything else, I believe, in our relationship to him. Obedience is at the very heart of our relationship with God. Obedience is. God gives us instructions. God gives us command. And that's at the very heart of our relationship with God, to obey. We can have a healthy connection to the Father if we have a disobedient heart. Understand that. If you're only being partially obedient, you're being disobedient. And you cannot have a healthy relationship, a healthy connection to God, if you have a disobedient heart. So if you're here today and you're only partially obedient, and you're really operating in disobedience to the Word of God, then you cannot have a healthy relationship, a healthy connection to God, because there is something in the way. I believe the reason why most believers fail in their walk with the Lord and end up defeated is because of their lack of total obedience, or their only partial obedience to God. That's why we see so many believers just falling left and right, all over the place. They're failing in their walk. They're messing up because they're not walking in total obedience to God. You can't just do one thing here and one thing there, a little bit here and a little bit there. God requires total obedience from us. Otherwise, our relationship with God is not healthy. We've lost the connection. We're not abiding in God. As the Word of God says, abide in me and I will abide in you. In other words, failing to do what God told us to do, and the way to do that will lead us to be separated from God. Most believers today put their own spin on what God commands them to do, even though the Word of God is so clear about that. Then when things don't work out, believers have the tendency to blame someone else instead of acknowledging their sin of disobedience. Don't try to change or modify the Word of God. God's Word tells you very clearly, very, very plainly what you're to do. If you don't follow it, that's disobedience. If you get anything out of this message today, and I hope you're getting something out of this, because I'm not up here just, you know, for my own benefit, although I always benefit myself as I study, as I prepare, as I say these things, God speaks to me as well. But if you get anything out of this words, this message today, I want you to know that God is looking for total obedience in your life. Not just a little bit. Not just partially. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when it seems okay to do it. God is requiring in your life total and complete obedience. Don't be like Saul, King Saul here. Because you need to understand that partial obedience is total disobedience. If you're wondering why maybe you're lacking health and wealth, think about it. Is there a reason why you're lacking health in your life? You're not healthy. You're sick. You're suffering poverty. Suffering in lacking in health and wealth. It's probably because of your disobedience to God. Probably. God tells you to tithe 10%. You're putting a dollar in the offering once a week, once every other week. You're wondering why you're lacking, you're suffering in wealth and blessing. You're disobedient. Health-wise, your disobedience can strip you of your health. I promise you, And this is according to God's word, I promise you. If you're willing to trust God, if you're willing to walk in faith, if you're willing to surrender your life to God, I promise you, your situation is going to change. It will change. It's going to change. I promise you. Where you're lacking in health and wealth, I promise you, if you walk in faith, you trust God, you surrender your life to Him, your situation is going to turn around. Your sickness will disappear and your blessings will appear. The light of Yeshua will then shine brightly upon you, and the miracles that you're seeking and you're praying for and you're desiring will become realities in your life. But again, God is requiring your obedience, and partial obedience is disobedience. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray that these words today spoke into every heart here, that we would see, Lord, as we went through your 10 words, your commandments from Exodus 20, how in one way or another, Lord, we only operate in partial obedience often, that we're really being disobedient in so many areas of our life. As we saw the example of Saul and the consequences of partial obedience, what happened to his life, all that he lost, including his life. Lord, help us to see the utmost importance of being obedient in every area of our life. And Lord, we know all of us, we fall short of the glory of God. We mess up sometimes. We don't do everything we're supposed to. But Lord, help us to trust in you with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to have faith to walk with you, O God. Help us, Lord, to put you first and foremost in our life, that our sicknesses will disappear, that our poverty, Lord, will fly away, that we will see your health and your wealth, your blessings in our life, that your light would shine upon us, Lord, that we would walk as victorious in your sight. And Lord, again, as always and forever, we want to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the worship and all the majesty. In the name that's above every name, in the name of Yeshua, our righteousness, our hope, and our salvation. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. If anyone lost a little key, looks almost like a little skeleton key, kind of. If anyone lost a little key like this, it's come see me. Let me know. You lost, is that your key?